Today's daf is Chaf Ches. We're going to begin three lines up before the end of Chaf Zayin Amid Beis, Mai Beinayu. Just to review, the Gemara is talking about reconciling two brisos. Not reconciling them, but rather finding the difference in Afkamina between them. And these brisos revolve around the use of Meiser funds as derived from a pasuk in Dvarim Yudalid, v'nasato ha-kesef b'chol asher tavas nafshecha, which is a klal, and then it says, b'abokar b'tzon u'b'yayin u'b'sheichar is a prat, and then again a klal, b'chol asher tishalucha nafshecha. So we have a prat, a klal, and a klal, a prat, and then a klal. And the Gemara says that there's an afkamina between the two brisos. Amar Abai dogim ika peinayu. And now we'll see how fish, whether you could buy fish with kesef maser, is going to be the nafkamina between these two brisos. Laman di Omar, according to one brisa, we have what's called pri mi pri vigdule karka, which means you have to have either an animal or a fruit that produces its own seed, and it has to grow from the ground. This hani dogim di gidule karka ninu. Dogim, insofar as they eat from the bottom of the sea, that's called gidule karka, and also they reproduce, therefore it's pri-u-pri, so all the conditions necessary for lekichas maser sheni are existing. But Lamandi Omar Vlad Vlados Ha'aretz, there's another Mandi Omar in the other Braisa that says we have a condition in Kesef, Nilkach, Lamaser, that it has to be Vlad Vlados, which means it's got to be created from the ground. And Dogim Mimaya Ibru. Ibru is the Aramaic formulation of Nivru. And the dogim were created from the water. As the pasuk says in the first chapter of Bereishis, it says, Vayomer Elokim Yishritzu Hamayim Sheretz Nefesh Chaya. And Sheretz, Rashi says, the Dover Chai. And that includes anything that's Eino Gavoh Min Ha'aretz, it's low on the ground. Bechlal said dogim. So dogim were created from Mayim, and not from the karka itself. We need Vlad Vlados Ha'aretz. So the Gemara immediately raises the following objection. Umi Amar Abaye, is it really true that Abaye holds that dogim, gidui karka, ninu dogim are classified as growing from the ground? The Amar Abaye, and now we start the daf for today, Chav Chesam and Aleph, Achal Potisa. Potisa is a small non-kosher creature that lives in the ocean, and if somebody eats this non-kosher creature, aquatic creature, then loka arba, he gets four sets of malchus. Now, there's a general violation of eating creeping creatures. It has nothing to do with gidulei aretz, but anything that creeps. And there are two different lavim and two different sets of malchios that you get for that. And this is included in the Torah in the parsha of Sheretz HaShoretz. Then there's an additional two sets of malchus for two different lavim for violating Sheretz HaMayim. And again, if we had more time, which we don't have, I would go through all the psukim inside. But the bottom line is that the Braisa records that you have violated four different lavim. Not the Braisa, I mean the statement of Abai, four different lavim by eating potisa. And in the case of Ochal Nemola, if he eats an ant, Loke Chamesh, why did we jack it up by one number? Well, we subtract two and add three. We subtract the two of Sheretz HaMayim, because an Amola is not aquatic, it's not in the ocean, but on the other hand, we add three prohibitions. And these are the prohibitions that apply to Sheretz HaShoretz al HaOretz, not just general creeping creatures, but specifically those creatures that crawl on the ground. We call them land species. And there are three different lavim. Again, as I apologize, if we have time, we'll go through the lavim inside. It would take us another 15 minutes to go through all the different lavim. But be it as it may, Tzira. Tzira is a hornet. And Lokech HaMesh, if you eat it, you violate six different malchus. That's a lot of malchus that you get. Six different lavim for violating eating a Tzira. And the reason for that is because Tzira, in addition to violating the lavim of Sheretz HaOretz, because apparently a hornet also crawls on the ground, that already gives you three. And you also have the general prohibition of Shrotzim, that checks it up to five. In addition, it flies through the air, and there it comes up with another lav, which is called Sheretz HaOf. So you now have 3, 2, and 1 for violating by eating a Tzira hornet. So let's not eat hornets. V'im Isa, if a bay holds that fish in general, because they swim in the water and they eat from the ground of the ocean, they are classified as gidulei karka. Then Potisa, in the case of Potisa, which we said was a Sheretz HaMayim, it's a Dag Tome. But in addition, this Potisa is Sheretz B'mayim. It's Nami Nilke Mishum Sheretz HaSheretz Ala Oretz. Because if you're classifying fish as Gedulei Karka, then it comes under Sheretz HaSheretz Ala Oretz, which means we have to jack it up by another three lavim, and instead of four malkios, he should be getting seven malkios. And the bottom line and the final derivation from this statement of Abaye is that fish are not considered gedulei karka. They don't grow from the ground. The ground of the ocean is not considered gedulei karka. And fish generally also don't eat off the karka of the ocean. I mean, there are fish that do. And therefore, we're back to square one. What's an afkamina between the two brisos and derivations of the klal pratu klal? One says that you require pre and gedulei karka, and the other says that you require nolad min hakarka, vlad vlodos haoretz. Clearly, fish are not vlad vlodos haoretz, but now we come to the conclusion that Abaye would admit that fish did not come under gedulei karka. And therefore, we're looking now for another alternative nafkamina. Ela Omar Avina, Ofos Iko Beinayu. The nafkamina is birds. Can you buy fowl with Kesef Masasheni? Lemandi Omar Pri Gedulei Karka, Hani Nami Gedulei Karkaninu. Certainly, birds will swoop down from the heavens to eat tzmachim that are growing from the ground. And therefore, you can buy them with Kesef Maser. Avo, but according to Lamandi Omar, Vlad Vlodos HaOretz, we have to talk about something that was created from the ground. Hani Ofos Min Harakak Nivru. They were created from Adoma Meureves Im Mayim, what we call mud, and they weren't created from pure Oretz. And we need something that's created from the ground itself. Ofos do not fit that category. Therefore, Enom Nilkochim, according to this Mandiyom, according to this Brisa, Bekesef Maaseh, because they don't fulfill the requirement of Vlad Vlodos Haaretz. So we have now a machlokas between two Brisos. And the Gemara is going to try to analyze this machlokas. What are the conditions necessary for Nilkochim Bekesef Maaseh, that which could be bought with Maaseh Sheni funds? According to one Brisa, we need Pri and Gedulei Karka. And therefore, Ofos are included because Ofos have all these conditions. They reproduce and they are created, and I'm sorry, they eat from the Karka. But according to the second Brisa that you cry that it was created from the Karka, Vlad Vlodos HaOretz, the Ofos were not created from the Oretz. So the Gemara says, Man Dimarabe Ophos my taimu, mandu mamayit ophos my taimu. Can you give me a deeper insight, the Gemara says, as to why I would either include or exclude ophos? Now, just by way of introduction to the Gemara's analysis, let's talk a little bit about klal uprat, and also what's called prat uklal. Those are two midos shatorin and tresh spen. And finally, the combination thereof, which is called klal prat uklal. Number one, if we have a klal uprat, then we have a principle called ein beklal elamasha befrat. It means that when the Torah details, it's telling you that that principle, that general principle, only applies in a case of prat. It's only applicable to one specific din. That's called klal uprat. So the klal came first, and the prat comes to minimize it. Then we have the opposite. We have something called prat uklal, which means that the Torah started with a detail, a specific case, and then it gave a general rule. Here we have another principle that says, Nasa klal mosif al haprat. In such a case where the prat came first, then the klal is coming to add to the prat. That's called, in the language of Chazal, Nasa klal mosif al haprat. That's a case of a prat uklal. And basically what that means that we're not going to limit ourselves to the prat that opened up this discussion, but rather we're going to expand it to include anything, and that's called the klal. Now we have a combination of the two. We have something called klal, prat, uklal, in the parasha of Kesef, Maaseh Sheni. And here we have a double klal. We have the original klal, and then the Torah repeats the klal. Wedged in between is the prat. So when you have this case of klal prat uklal, which is a hybrid of both the midos that we mentioned earlier, which contradict each other, that's going to give birth to two different directions and a machlokes as to what to do in a case of a klal prat uklal. On the one hand, we could say that we have here a case of a klal uprat, and we're going to say that the klal is now whittled down to the prat. On the other hand, we have a prat uklal, because the prat is followed by a klal, and therefore we should have a ribui instead of a miut. So we have here now what we call mida emtsoi, some sort of golden mean, and we apply the principle of ein atadon ela ke'ein haprat, so that we're not going to reduce the klal by the prat, which we would normally do in a case of a klal uprat. On the other hand, we're not going to allow the klal to completely generalize in, as we would in the case of prat uklal, but rather we're going to have ke'en haprat. We're going to have something similar that could be part of the klal, but it's very similar to the prat. It's dovra domil prat. And here we have machlokas between the two brisos. Which of these principles is primary? And based on that, on the answers to this question, two possible answers: to what extent does the prat have to be similar to the does the prat have to be, does the case that we're dealing with have to be similar to the prat, such that it can now be included in the klal because it's keina prat? To what extent do we need that, what we call keina prat? That's going to be the machlokes between the two brisos and the nafkamina l'gabe ophos. Man de marbe ophos. According to the man de omer, who says that we can include ophos. And that's because whenever you have a klal and a prat and a klal, like for example in our case of Masa, we started with nosata kesa b'chol shetavas nafshecha, and then you had b'bokor b'tzon b'yayin b'shecher, and then following that you had b'chol shetishalcha nafshecha, is klal basra dafka. The Ikar is the last klal. That's like the finale, the Makom HaPatish, and we're going to follow the last klal. And therefore, what we're going to say is that prat uklal, nasa klal mosif ala prat visrabalu lakol mili. That even though you had a prat, but now that you had a klal that follows the prat, the klal is now adding to the prat and really expanding the prat. And therefore, it's going to include anything that has some similarity to the prat. And that's because the klal, at the end of this entire series, that says, U'b'chol asher tishalcha nafshecha. V'hani klal akama. And the first opening klal, which we said was based on the pasuk Nasata kes b'chol asher tavas nafshecha, that's going to teach us that we shouldn't darshin a prat uklal, which would mean when you start with a prat and a klal that you're much more limited, but rather you're going to learn a klal uprat. So therefore, lim'uti kol delo domile mishneit studim. So now the prat is only going to exclude a case where eino domile prat. Now we're going to say that even if the prat is excluded mishnei tzadim, in other words, even if I'm missing only two similarities to the prat, for example, let's take the case of dogim. Dogim fits the description of pri upri, but it doesn't fit the description of Gidule Karka, and therefore would not be included in the Ribuy of the Klal, but Ophos, in the case of Ophos, here we have a similarity of Tut Stodin. So when we say Lima'ute Kol Delo Domile Mishneit Stodin, we're assuming that you need Gidule Karka. So again, Priupri, that's a given. Nobody questions that. The Torah itself here says that we're talking about pre. However, when it comes to the second element of equation that's derived from the prat, that's going to give us gedule karka, and that's going to exclude dogim, because dogim is not gedule karka. But ophos, birds, fowl, are considered similar to the prat. Mishneit stodim. We have two similarities. Number one, it's pre-upri. It always has to be pre-upri. But not only that, it's also considered gedule karka because, as we said, the birds eat the vegetation that grows from the karka. Now, it's not totally similar to the prat because, in the case of the prat, we have what's called vlad vlados ha'aretz, which means it was created from the aretz. That's not true in the case of birds. But nevertheless, we consider the most important primary element here, the last klal that comes to tell me I don't need all the equations and all the analogies to the prat, and therefore even if ophos are missing one prat, that means they're not similar to the other peros that are created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu during Sheshes Me'abreshes from the ground, nevertheless, they have the other two similarities of Priupri and Gedule Karka. But Manda Bamait Ophos, according to the second Brisa, that excludes Ophos, because they learn Klal Pratu Klal, means Klal Kama Dafka. You start with the first Klal, not the second Klal, the last Klal. And therefore, following the Klal, the opening Klal, you have a Prat, and therefore it's similar to a Klalu Prat. And if you recall what we said before, that a Klal, and then followed by a Prat, is Ein Bechlal Amasha Befrat. And therefore, we need an absolute similarity to the prat. And hani in mide achrini lo, only that which can be compared in three different ways to the prat will be included in the klal. Hani klol abasra l'rabui kol d'domile b'shloshet stadim. If we have a similarity to the prat in three different ways, then and only then is it included in the klal. And therefore, we need, number one, pre-upri. Number two, we need Gedule Karka, both of which we have, and we can check off those boxes in the case of Ophos. But Vlad Uvlados Ha'aretz is the third tzad, and we need that great similarity because we put the emphasis on the first klal, which is whittled down by the prat, and we're going to apply the principle of Ein Bechlal Amasha Befrat. So we have an additional requirement of a similarity to the prat. Ophos, although they have two out of three, although they are both pre-upri and they have the similarity of being Gedule Karka, but they don't have the element of being created from the Karka, Vlad Vlados Ha'aretz. And therefore they're excluded, and according to this price, you could not buy Kesef with Kesef Maser, Ophos. Okay. That brings us to Omar Rabbi Yehuda. And now we're going to get into some of the details about the different types of growths and vegetations and how to classify them. And by way of introduction, let's point out that the question of classification with regard to vegetation is relevant in many, many different areas. Number one, of course, pre-migdule karka, as far as buying with kesef maser sheni. Number two, as far as erev tchumen is concerned, erev tchumen applies to any foodstuff. So we're going to need to make sure that this vegetation has an additional element that it is designated for human consumption. We'll also have a question in Hilchos Brachos about whether we can consider this vegetation as pre-ha'adama, to make the bracha bar pre-adama. And we'll have a designation called Kabolas Tuma, Tumas Ochlin. You have to have something that is generally edible in order to qualify for Tumas Ochlin. Again, I just say this by way of general introduction. We'll get to the specifics. Now, Om Rab Yehuda, Mishmei Rab Shmuel, Bar Shilat Mishmei Rab. So this entire tradition, and it's very important that we remember this, goes back to Rav. Ma'arvim Befafuin Ubechalgalos Ubegud Godonios. Okay, and all that we're going to do today are very specific kinds of vegetations. We'll try to translate them in Hebrew and in English. Papuim is a kind of min selek. Selek. And in English, it's called papuin. Some people translate it as an herb. We don't know exactly which herb it is. Then we have chalaglulos. Okay, in Hebrew, this is called min esev bar, some sort of wild grass. And in English, it's called purslane. And then we have something called gudgudonios, which is otherwise known as kuzbara. In English, fancy English, that's called coriander. All these are edible, different kinds of vegetations and herbs that are vegetable and spices that are edible. And you would put it on the table to eat with your suda. And therefore, they're all included in Erev Tchumen. Avalo b'chaziz, which is shachas shal tvua b'tchilas ha-tzmicha, kshehi adayin yerek. So we're talking about green grain in English. And this is usually designated for animal fodder. And therefore, it's not included in Erev Tchumen. It's too immature and green to be edible. Velo b'chaf Nios, what a chaf nios, tmarim ros. These are non-maturing dates. Shelo bishlu kol tzarkon. The eno omdim lachila. They're not usually eaten. So the Gemara immediately asks a kasha from a brisa regarding gudgonios. Gudgonios again, as we said before, is kuzbara. Coriander. Mima arvin? Can you actually make an eruv? V'atani, we have a price that says, good God, yos, merube banim yochelu, but chasuche banim lo yochelu. This is a kind of an herb or a spice which is not very good for producing zera. And if a person doesn't have any children, then he should not eat these good God, yos. He should stay away from them. However, in hukshu lezera, if they're not in such a raw state, but rather they've already become somewhat ripened, and such that this could produce its own zera, then af merube banim lo yochelu. Since it is in a more mature state, koshim heim leguf kol adam, it has a bad impact on the guf. But in any event, what do we see here clearly from this price is that gudgonios are not edible for those who have no children. And when they get more ripe and tough, then no one's meant to eat them. They are detrimental to one's health. So how could Rav use them for an eruv? Is Tar Gemara. The Gemara now reinterprets Rav. Ashalo hukshu lezera umerube banim. We're talking about a case of Gudgonios in the very early state of development, and the one who's allowed to use them for an Eruv is someone who fits the category of Merubei Bonin. He doesn't have to worry about the fact that it might be Mamait Zera, and therefore, since they're edible for Merubei Bonin, therefore even Chashuchei Bonin... No. Right now the Gemara is holding, again the Gemara goes back and forth on this, that only someone who has already, Baruch Hashem, he has children, then he could use this Gudgonios for an Eruv. And that's what Rav was referring to. So we're now whittling down Rav's statement for Eruv Tchumen and Gudgonios, Dafka to Merube Bonim and Kodim Shehukshu. Eboy, same another possible answer to reconcile the Brisa with Rav is Liolam. Rav is talking about Chashuche Bonim, even those who don't have children. And we're talking about Gudgonios Shelo Hukshu. But the answer is, even though they're not very good food for someone who has no children, but nevertheless, Achazulim Rube Bonim, but it's nevertheless considered objectively edible because those who have children will eat it in this raw state. And the Gemara proves this, Milos Nan. We have in our Mishnah back on Daf Chavav, it says, Ma'arvim le-Nazir b'yayin, v'li Yisrael b'truma. Even though a Nazir is enjoined from eating wine, but since you and I can drink the wine, therefore even the Nazir could use it for an Erev Tchumen. And even though you and I cannot eat the Truma because we're not Kohanim, nevertheless, a Yisrael can set up an Erev with Truma Alma. We see that Afagav lo Chazi Lahai, Chazi Lahai. All we have to see is that someone else could eat it. I don't have to be able to eat it, and it's already valid as an ochel, and it's roi lacherim, and therefore it's valid for an erev tchum. And Ochinami here too will apply it in the case of Gudgonios. Afal gavdol chazi lahai, chazi lahai. Even though this person is a chazuch bonim, he doesn't have children, but nevertheless, those who have children, it's perfectly healthy, and it's not a problem. Eboy same a third approach to reconcile Rav with the Braisa. Kika amar Rav. When did Rav say that you could set up an Eruv with Gudgonios? That's only in a case of Hindakuki Midai. Now, Midai is a formulation of the word Madai. Madai is meads. And we're talking about coriander that comes from Madai. Vehem yafos bi odom rachos. As long as they're still immature and soft, they are fine, even for those who don't have children. And it's not Mamait Zera. So we have to import these coriander from Modai. Now, another thing on Rav's list, which was excluded in this case from Eruv, was Chaziz. You remember that was the grain, the green grain that was cut down prematurely. So the Gemara asks, V'chi Chaziz lo ma'arvin? Is it true that there's no Erev with chaziz, with this green grain? V'amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Kshus. Okay, we'll talk about Kshus now. Kshus, which we're going to have over and over again in this sugya, are called hops in English. In Hebrew, it's a min tzemach hagadel al hakotzim. They grow from shrubs and thorn bushes. And they have no root in the karka. And Rav says, nevertheless, they are edible, and you can use it for an Erev. Again, we're going to have a whole long discussion about Kshus a little bit later on today, but Chaziz, that's the focus of our study right now, is Ma'arvim Behem. Now, that's a stira to Rav, because Rav himself said that Chaziz ain't ma'arvin b'hem. Moreover, Rav is now quoted as saying, Mavarchen aleim bori pri adama, which means that they grow from the ground, and hence they are considered like anything else that grows from the ground, and even though it doesn't really grow directly from the ground, I'm sorry, that was Kshus, and even though Chaziz grows directly from the ground, it's bori pri adama, it's also something that apparently could be eaten. So the Gemara is baffled by this. Who eats chaziz? I mean, it's good for animals, but people don't usually eat chaziz. So on the one hand, Rav says that chaziz is completely excluded from Eruv. It's not edible. On the other hand, here he says that chaziz ma'arvin b'hem. Lo kasha, we can reconcile the two statements of Rav. Ha makami the osir Rav lebavel. Ha lebasa the osir Rav lebavel. Rav in his early years lived in Eretz Yisrael, and in Israel they don't eat chaziz. They leave it for the animals, and therefore you cannot be ma'ariv with chaziz. But when Rav came to Bavel, he realized that the people in Bavel were eating chaziz. They were eating these immature grains. And therefore, he made a statement that this is pre-Adama, and this is Ochel, and therefore you could use it for an Erev. So the Gemara says, I don't get it. You want to tell me that the standards of Ochel and Kosher Li'erevin are determined by Bavel? Bavel Havi Ruba Di Alma? Do we determine what is considered objectively edible by one country? So there's one country on the face of the globe where they eat chaziz. But we don't eat chaziz. And I'll prove to you that we don't rely on one country. That's not enough to establish whether something is considered unedible or not. For Tanya, we learned in a Braisa HaPol, these are kinds of legumes, Ve'hasior and barley, Ve'hatilson, which in Hebrew is called Chilba, and in English is called fenugreek, and it's planted as vegetables, says Ra'im Liyerek, if he planted it because he wants to eat it as a vegetable. Shalahem ha'olim, it means that they grow those leaves outside of the ground. Veloes hazroim, he's not planting it in order to get the seeds. They used to also eat the seeds. Is Bala Daitoitzel Kol Onam? We don't care about the fact that he wants the plant to eat the leaves. In these cases, nobody eats the leaves, they eat the zera. However, Lefichach Zoran, if he planted them for the zera, is chayov. And he's chayov in Hafroshas Maser. Okay. The yarkon, but on the other hand, the leaves that grow above the ground are potum in a maser, because most people don't plant these things for the purpose of eating them as a vegetable, like cabbage, but rather they want the zera. And therefore, depending upon what most people would do, you determine whether it's chayav in maser or not. And the Gemara goes on to quote the rest of the Braisa. The Braisa has something called shachalayim. Shachalayim in Hebrew is called min yerek cham v'yavesh v'tamo charif. He translates this into English as cress. V'gargir is a tzemach sheshmo ora, which in English is called a garden rocket. And these are planted for both purposes, sometimes for the seeds and sometimes for the vegetables, the leaves that grow above ground. Is therefore zoron liyerek mesasrim, yerek v'zera, is also chayav in maisers run lezera misasim zera v'yerek. In other words, this is a ambidextrous kind of a growth, which is generally planted for one of two purposes, whether it's planted for the yerek or for the zera, and whether he's chayav in mas or not will depend on his intention. Zoron liyerek. If he planted this cress and garden rocket for the purpose of yerek, then misasrim yerek vizera. In other words, if he decides that he wants to eat the zera, then he's still chayv and maser, because it's still considered within bounds, generally speaking, that they planted for the zera. Or the reverse case, zoran lezera. He didn't have any intention of eating the grass, the green leaves. Is misasim zera v'yerek. If he changes his mind and decides that he wants to eat the leaves, then he's chayav in masras. Why? Because derech lezaram bein liyerek u bein lezera. But in any event, we certainly learn from this brisa with regard to pul, siora, and tilson, that if he eats it as a yerek, he's potur milasra. He doesn't have to give maser on the leaves. And even if he were to plant these three species for the sake of eating the yerek, No, holchim acharov bnei adam and batla daito etzel kolono. So here now we get back to Chaziz, and we're going to apply the principle that since Chaziz, in general, with the exception of Bavel, is not eaten, therefore it doesn't have the status of an ochel, and it shouldn't be kosher for an Eruv. So because of this question, the Gemara now backtracks and interprets Rav in a different way, and it's not that Rav Paskin that you could use Chaziz as an Eruv Tchumin when he got to Bavel, because in Bavel they generally eat Chaziz, but Kikoma Rav, and here we turn to Daf Chav Ches Omid Beis, Bidiginunsi Yasa. Okay, the shorish of this word is Gina, which is a garden, and we're talking about Chaziz in a garden, and here's where there's a fundamental difference. And that is the following, that the garden variety of Chaziz is eaten in all parts of the world, and if it's royal Eruv. And when Rav was quoted as saying, Ein Ma'arvin b'Chaziz, that's called a Chaziz HaGodol b'Sodeh, it grows out in the fields, not in the gardens, and nobody eats those Chaziz. But rather it's planted only for the purpose of eating the fully ripened grain, but not the green grain that's unripened, and therefore it's not Roy Le'eruv, even for the Bnei Bava. Okay, now we go down to Gargir. And we said that a Gargir is called a garden rocket. And Lamai Chazi, the Gemara says, how can you tell me that there's Meiser, both in the Yerek and the Zera, in the case of Gargir? What is it fit for? L'chora, we don't eat this. It's a kind of a spice, but you wouldn't call it a food. So the answer is no. Even if it's only a spice, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shekain, Rishonim, earlier generations, I remember, Shalohoylem Pilpelim, if they didn't have any spices, then Shochakim Oso, they would take this Gargir, this garden rocket, and they would crush it. And Umat Bilimbo Es Hatzli, when they had a piece of roast meat, they would dip the roast meat in this crushed gargir, and therefore it's considered edible. It's on your table. It's part of the suda. You dip your meat into it, and therefore it's chayav in mas. Rab Zera ki havi cholish migirse. Rab Zera was once too weak to study Torah on his own. He didn't want to be bottled completely from mitzvahs. Savi azel v'yosva pischa de Rav Yehuda bar Ami. He would sit himself down at the entrance way into the yeshiva of Rabbi Yehuda bar Ami, Omar, and he declared in his heart, Ki nafki v'al rabbanon, when the chachamim, meaning the students of Rabbi Yehuda, will come out after they heard the shir, ekum mikamayu, at least I'll have enough strength to stand up in front of them, v'akabal bu agra, at least I'll get rewarded for the mitzvah of Es Hashem Elokeichem Tira L'Rabos Talmid Chachamim. Is a great mitzvah of Mora for a Talmid Chacham. We are totally dependent on Talmid Chachamim, and we'll stand up in their presence. One time, he was sitting at the entranceway to the Beis Medrash. Nafak Asi Yenuka Debei Rav. One of the younger people of this Beis Medrash came out, and Omer Le'Rav Zera starts interrogating him. My Agmarach Rabbach, what did your Rebbe teach you? Amale, so this young fellow taught him the following. Kishos, Birchaso. So again, kishos are hops. We said they grow on shrubs, but they don't grow directly from the ground. Is what we learned from our Rebbe was that Bor Pri Adoma, that they grow from the ground. We can make a Bor Pri Adoma. Number two, we also learned that chaziz, which is the green, immature grains, shakol niya bidvara. Omer leser, Rav Zera says to the child, to the youngster, adarav, the opposite should be true, ipcha mistabra, as we say in Yiddish pukfaker. Hi, in the case of chaziz are grains that grow from the ground, directly from the ground, me'arakom marbi. So therefore you should make a brocha bar priyad doma. Hi, but shows, they don't grow from the ground. Me'avira komarbe. They really grow from the moisture in the atmosphere. They have no roots in the ground. They're on top of these thorn bushes, shrubs. And I would not make a bar pri adama. I would make a shakel if I had the choice. On kshos. Let me just see if he adds anything here. He says the following. Rabbi Zera said to him, on the contrary, the verse is more logical. The green grain is nourished from the ground, and the proper blessing would be Bori Pri Adama, Haimi Avira, the hops nourished from the air. Okay, he doesn't add anything here. And the proper blessing should be Shakal the Abidvaro. But the Hilchas of the Gemara Paskins, Ki Yenuka de Beirav, like the ruling of the Beirav, which means that on Kshos we're going to make the Bracha Bori Pri Adama, and on Chazin Shakal the Abidvaro, my Taima. Hi, Gomar Gmar Pri. Vahai Lav Gmar Pri. The criterion for reciting the Bracha Bar Pri Adama is Gmar Pri. And in the case of Kshos, we have Gmar Pri. Gmar Pri means it's completely mature and ripened. Chaziz, on the other hand, is Lav Gmar Pri. Because when you plant the Chaziz in the ground, you expect it to grow to full maturity. And that hasn't nourished to that stage in which we can call it Gemar Pri. Umayde Ka'amri, but what about the argument of Rabbi Zera with regard to Kshos? That Haime Av Me Ara Ka Rabbi Vahime Avira Ka Rabbi. And Rabbi Zera says, on the contrary, Chaziz that grows from the ground, that deserves a Bar Pri Adama. So you'll answer, but it's not a Gmar Pri. But Kshos grows from the Avir. How can you make a Bar Pri Adama? Lohi. We can make a Bar Pri Adama on Kshos, on Kshus. May Ara come, Rabbi. I'll prove to you that the Kshos is nourishing from the ground itself, not just from the Avir. Doch Koch Hazinon, I'll prove it to you. You'll see that Katlinan Leile, his Masa, if we cut down the shrub, Maisa Kshusa, the Kshus will shrivel up and die. So we see clearly that, indirectly at least, the Kshus is nourishing itself from the ground itself, and therefore it's called Bore Pri Hadom. Okay. Now we go on to another statement that we quoted in the name of Rav back on Omer Aleph, and that was Ma'arvin Be Kafnios. Kafnios, remember we said, were dates that did not mature, and therefore they are not edible at this stage, and Rav disqualifies them for Erev Tchum. So the Gemara asks, V'chi Bechafnios Ein Ma'arvin V'atnan. I'm going to quote to you a brisa, and this brisa will occupy our mind for the balance of today's Amud. It says in the brisa, kar, which is defined in Ivrit as an af dekel, so it's a branch of a date tree, and it's very soft initially, and it's edible, and then it gets dry and hard, and it's no longer edible. He calls it a heart of a palm. I don't know if that's what we call hearts of palm. But anyway, is nikach mikesef maser. In other words, it fills all the requirements of pri mi pri ugdule karka. It's edible. But eno mitame tumas ochlin. On the other hand, as far as tumas ochlin is concerned, even though he had in mind to eat these dates, but nevertheless, that's not considered an ochel. It's too sour and immature to consider an ochel. So there's a discussion here in Tosfos Rashba, the Ritva. What's the difference here between the din of nilkach bekesef maaser, which also needs royal achila, and mitami tumas ochlin? In both cases, you need royal achila. So how is it that you could buy kafnios with kesef maser, but it's not makabel tumas ochlin. And the answer is, with regard to tumas ochlin, the pasuk says in Vayikra Yud Aleph, mikol ha'ochel asher ye ochel, and it has to be omed lachkila, which means the original planting of this kind of date tree was for the purpose of eating the kar, and that's not true. He doesn't want to eat the kar. The kar is considered part of the tree itself. It's not something that's edible, even though, again, you could eat it, and that's why we said you could buy it with kesef maser when it's soft in its early stages. But nevertheless, for tumas ochlin, we need that it's going to be omed lekaf. In other words, that's what his original intention was when he planted it. And here, his intention was not to eat the kar. The kafnios, however, when it comes to kafnios, and we say that these are the non-mature dates, is nilkochas because of ma'aseh metamei tumas ochlin. It is considered a full-fledged ochel. And that's the opinion of the first Tana in this braisa. The dissenting view is that of Rabbi Yehuda, Omer kar hareyu ke'etz, kar, since it will become hard, is like, it's like the tree itself, l'chol dvara, for all its dinu. And therefore, kafnios will not be mitami tumas ochlin, but elenikach bekesef maser. I agree that you can use maser funds to buy it. The Gemara later on is going to explain this opinion. And bekafnios harein kipri l'chol divrayim. And as far as buying something with kesef maser, they have the din of a pri, and it's mitami tumas ochlin. Ella, the only exception, and here's where Rabbi Yehuda rejects the Tanakama regarding kafnios, shepturos mina maser. It's not called a gemar pri. Remember, we discussed before that in order to be chayev in maser, you have to have gemar pri. And Rabbi Yehuda insists that these dates that didn't mature properly, they don't have gemar pri. The Tanakama didn't make this distinction. He considered that kafnios are considered kipri l'chol dover, and therefore you chayev even in maser. So according to that opinion, any kafnios, all the kafnios are considered ochel, the metami tumas ochlin, and you can buy them with kesef maser sheni. So why did Rav say, therefore, against this Tanakama regarding kafnios, that you cannot use it for an eruv? And the Gemara answers, hasam, the brisa that says the kafnios are makabel tumas ochlin, that's a case of bidin nischane. These are kafnios of male date trees, the kolim scharim, and their fruits will never mature. Those dates are not edible. They never will become edible. And therefore, there's no possibility of gemar pri with regard to nischani. And therefore, when they become kafnios, so lachein echshavas kafnios eli ochel gamur, he says, but if on the other hand, you take these dates from a female tree, that's a different story, and there you will have gemar pri, and if it's mekabel tumas ochlin. Rav, on the other hand, was talking about Rav, just one second, sorry, Rav, oh, I'm sorry, Rav says, ein ma'arvin b'hem, right? So Rav is talking about the kolim zcharim, and this is the most mature they will ever reach. That's the stage of maturity that they are capable, potentially, of achieving. And therefore, they have the din of a gemar pri. And therefore, it's considered ochel. It's makabel tumas ochlin. And you could use it for an eruv. Now, Rav excluded kafnios from eruv because he's talking about kafnios of nekevos. In the case of nekevos, if you leave the dates on the tree in order to allow them to mature completely, then you reach a stage of tmarim gmurim. But kafnios means that he didn't allow it to reach that stage. He already harvested it from the date tree, and therefore it's not called an ochel, it's not makabel tumas ochlin, and it cannot be used for an eruv. So Gemara asks, Ihachi beha lema Rabbi Yehuda pturos min amaser. If the Bryce is talking about kafnios of the kolim zcharim, of the male date trees, is could Rabbi Yehuda have said that they're part of a maser? How is that possible? Varsanya of Rabbi Yehuda lo huskaru in the base medrash, it wasn't mentioned page base yone, meaning fruits. I could call it dates. No. I'm sorry. Now we're talking about figs, right? Figs. Okay. Figs. And they didn't mature. And they came from a place called Beis Yoni. And you want to consider them as a pre. And again, they didn't mature on the tree. El inyan masa bulvat. Pagei Beis Yoni viachine de Tovina, kafnios that come from a place called Tovina, where all of the kolim are zecharim, chayovim v'masa, because that's considered the Gemara Pri. Anyway, you see explicitly that Rabbi Yehuda holds that kafnios come from the kolim zecharim and the chayovim masa. So therefore, how can you interpret our brisa that we mentioned earlier, and that we're talking about kafnios mit kolim zecharim, if they come from kafnios of the kolim zecharim, then Rabbi Yehuda would say, Yechayev Maser. And yet on this very case of the Brisa, Rabbi Yehuda is quoted as the dissenting view, and he says, you're part of an Maser. So therefore, the Gemara has to retract itself and change its original position that we interpret the Brisa as referring to Kafnios, that a Makabal Tumas Ochlin in a case of Kafnios that came from male trees. The Gemara says, no, I'm going to have a different approach to reconcile the Brisa with Rav, who says that Ein Ma'arvin beKafnios Eli Olam Lav Benischoni. We're not talking about Kafnios from male date trees, but rather from female date trees. And Lo Nigmar Gidulam, they haven't yet matured on the date tree. If he would have left them on the tree, they would have matured with the passage of time. And since it's Lo Nigmar Pri, we understand very well why Rabbi Yehuda said they're part of a Maser. And now we have to understand why they're makabel tuma. Well, the inyan tumas ochlin shani. And with regard to tumas ochlin, we have a whole different criterion, and it all depends on what the future has in store. Kidom Rabbi Yochanan made a statement that you can consider peros as ochel, even though right now they're not edible. As far as tuma is concerned, hold veroy lemitkan al yideya, or if we have a way of preparing them. For example, we can take these unripened fruits and we can roast them over a fire and they will be sweetened and edible. It's hachinami. Let's apply to the same logic to kafnios. They're considered ochel as far as Kabbalah's tuma is concerned, hold veyochel lematkan al yideya or. Then you can be machshir them for achila. But nevertheless, Rav says, although that's fine with regard to Tumas Ochlin is concerned, and that was Rabbi Yochanan's principle, but not as far as Erev is concerned. Erev is concerned, we need something that right now is edible. And right now, even though you could roast it, but he didn't roast it, and it's not edible, and therefore it's not valid for an Erev. So the Gemara says, Ve'heche itma de Rabbi Yochanan. In what context did Rabbi Yochanan apply this principle of Hoil? Meaning that, as far as Tumas Ochlin is concerned, we don't look at the present situation, but rather the potential and the future. Zahar Desanya, Rabbi Yochanan made his comment embellishing a Brisa. The Brisa was talking about Shkedim, almonds, and the question is whether Yechayev and Maser, Shkedim, Hamorim. We have almonds that, when they grow on the tree, they become bitter. And generally speaking, people eat them even before they finish ripening on the tree, right? And they're not yet fully bitter. They become bitter after they become fully ripened. But if you pluck them off the tree and eat them before they get fully ripened, then the halacha is that ktanim, since they are still immature and they're not so bitter, chayovim, your chayv and masros, that's considered already a gmar pri, although again, it still matures on the tree, but for human consumption, it's considered fully matured when they're still ktanim, because then they're not so bitter. But gedolim, once they mature fully on the tree, is then pturim in a maser. Why? Because they're so bitter when they get fully ripened, then it's potter minamasa, it's not considered an ocha. Umesukim. Now we have a different species of almonds that are sweet almonds. Those are the almonds probably that we eat. Is gedolim, only after they fully mature, chayov masa, ketanim, pturim, because it's not gemar priya. We said for masa we need Gmar Pri. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama of the Brisa. And now the Brisa records the dissenting view of Rav Shimon ber Yosi, Omer Mishum Aviv. He says in the name of his father, of Rav Yosi, that Shkedim Amorim, that if you have bitter Shkedim, Zev Zeh, where they're small or they're large, depending upon the different types of Shkedim that we spoke about, if they're bitter, Liftar, that Zev Zeh Liftar, they're both Pturim in Amaser. The Ketan of the small ones are Pturim in Amaser because Lo Nigmar Peri. The Gedolim are Pturim in Amaser because, as we said, with the passage of time on the tree, they become more bitter and they're not considered an ochel. Now the Gemara has a different text of Rabbi Shimon. V'yamrile, another tradition has it, Zev Zeh L'chiyuv, where they're too small or they're fully big, they're chayev amasos. The ketan of the small ones are chayev because that's the ikra achil, it's considered Gemara pri, because we want to eat them before they get bitter on the tree. And the gedolim are chayev for the following reason. Om Rabbi Loi, Ho Rab Chani, Vitzipor, Kedivri, Omer Zevizeh Potur. So the Gemara asks Lamandi, Omer Zevizeh Chayev, Lamai Chazi. What are you going to do with these larger almonds if they're so bitter? Omer Rabbi Yochanan, the reason why you Chayev in Maser is because, Ho Varoi, Lamatkan, Al Yidea Ur. Since you can process them by roasting them, and that will sweeten them, and therefore it's already considered an Ochel, and it's chayev and maser. Omar ma, we learned in the Brice above, Rabbi Yehuda omer kor, harehu ke'etz l'chol dvorav. Rabbi Yehuda says that since we planted not for the sake of eating it, it's already part of the tree, is therefore it has the status of etz. Elish enikach v'kesev maser, but we said that paradoxically, as far as maser is concerned, it's included. And the Gemara asks, Hainu Tanakama, so what's going on in this Brisa? The Brisa records the Shita of the Tanakama, that Kur is not Metami Tumas Ochlin, it's considered like Eitz, and yet it's Nilkach B'Kesef Maser. Rabbi Yehuda seems to basically review exactly what the Tanakama says, and furthermore, what's the logic to say that if it's not Mekabel Tumas Ochlin, and it's Eitz B'Alma, that Kur should lend itself to purchase with Kesef Maser? Omer Abaye, Shloko Iko Beinayu Vitigno Iko Beinayu. We're talking about cases where he took the car and he cooked it or he fried it in oil and it became edible. And that's going to be the nafkamina between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanakama holds that it's considered Ochel Gomur, it's Matami Tumas Ochlin, and therefore it's Nilkach B'Kesef Maser. Therefore, the Tanakama never said Hare Huka Eitz, because since it lends itself to cooking or frying, it can become an Ochel. Therefore, it's not called an Eitz. Rabbi Yehuda says Hare Huka Eitz. He's of the opinion that even if you cook or fry this entity called Kar, nevertheless, it's not considered an Ochel. It's not Metami Tumas Ochlin. It's not. And the reason for that is because it's considered like an eitz. And again, the Achronim here go into a long discussion. Why is it considered like an eitz if Rabbi Yehuda doesn't deny that you can actually cook it or fry it? And why does he exclude it from Tumas Ochlin? It's not considered an Ochlin. So some want to say it's ein darko b'kach. Maskif la, Rava raises the following question to Abaye. Could it possibly be that Rabbi Yehuda would say that it's not Metami Tumas Ochlin, even though you can cook it or fry it? V'atanya, we learned in the Braisa, Ha'or Vashilya. Ain't Metami Tumas Ochlin. These are types of parts of the animal. We have something called the Or, which is the hide, the skins of the animal, or the Shilya, which is the placenta of the animal, where the Vlad stays in Zmunach b'mei imo, is ein metamin tumas ochlin, or is very tough, it's not edible. And the shilya is something repulsive, nobody would eat it. But or sheshlako, but nevertheless, if you take the skins, the hides, and you cook them until they get soft, then it's considered an ochel. And shilya shechishiv aleha, if you decide that you want to eat it, is metamin tumas ochlin. So we see that in the case of Or, even though it's not Roy Lachil at all, but since once you cook it, it is Metami Tumas Ochlin. So the same thing should apply to Kar. it could be slightly edible even before you cook it. And certainly after you cook it or fry it, it should be mitami tumas ochlin. So how did Abai say the coin to Rabbi Yehuda? It's not mitami tumas ochlin. Elama rava, you could be nayu bracha. The difference between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda has nothing to do with tumas ochlin. And they both would agree that if you cook it or fry it, it's mitami tumas ochlin. But the nafkamina is going to be as far as a bracha. Tanakam holds that you recite Bar Pri Adavma on kar. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the bracha shakal near the dvaro, because ultimately kar, if it was left on the tree, it would become hard, and it's ke'etz, hareu ke'etz. De itmar, we learned in the base medrash, kar. We have machlokes, amoraim, what bracha do you make on kar? Rabbi Yehuda omar, bore pri adoma, ushmul amar shakal near the dvaro. Rabbi Yehuda omar, bore pri adoma, uchlahu. Rabbi Yehuda classifies it as ochel. So this kar, since it's still soft, you can suck it and eat it, and therefore gets a bar pri adama. A lot of this, by the way, has to do with sugar, but we don't have time for that. Anyway, Shmuel amar shakol nia bidvaro. Why? Kevin shesofel ahakshos. Right, when the rains will fall down, it will eventually get hard on the tree. Is lo varchinen iluye bar pri adama. You can't call it a bar pri adama. You can only make a general bracha. A bracha klolus is called shakol. Amar Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda shinina. You're very sharp, kavosef mistabra, and we should logically accept your position that even though it's sofo shel kol ha-hakshos, that it'll eventually become eitz and it'll become very hard, we still can make the bracha bar pri adama. And I'll prove it to you. That's known with regard to radishes, sofo ha-hakshos, if you leave the radish on the tree, in the ground, it'll become hard like a tree. So you have to make sure to harvest them earlier. And nevertheless, so you see that the fact that it's so full of hakshos that eventually it will become so tough, that's not enough for a reason to justify that we should undermine the bracha and vitiate the bar pri adama. And kor itself should have a bracha, bar pri adama, even though it's so full of hakshos. Gemara says, lohi. The proof that Shmuel adduced from Tznon is not a proof at all. The analogy is not correct. Why? And the answer is known note inish adaite de pulg to bugla. When you planted it in order to eat it when it was soft. That's what radishes are for. So the purpose of planting it was certainly as a prihadoma. But dikla, in the case of a date tree, a palm tree, lo nati inish adaite de kora. Nobody plants it for the intention to eat the kar. The kar is that part of the palm tree that's going to get hard, but rather the reason why he plants it is because he wants to eat the dates and harvest the dates from the tree. So kar is not considered a pri, and therefore its bracha cannot be bar pri adama. It would fall into the general bracha of shakal nivav. Yafa gav de kalse Shmuel or Rav Yehuda, even though Shmuel gave great accolades to Rav Yehuda because he quoted this brisa from the bracha of Tznon hilchos hakavasi de Shmuel. And we're going to pass in like Shmuel that the bracha on kar is shahakol niya bidvaro, because of that spur that we mentioned before, that we don't plant a dekel, a palm tree for the purpose of eating the kar, and therefore it doesn't get the status of bori pri adoma, but rather shahakol niya bidvaro, which was Shmuel's opinion. So I will say this is where we're going to have to stop for today. And we're up to the bottom of Chavches Amid Beis, and we're going to start with Gufa. That's where we'll begin Amir Tzashem B'li Neder tomorrow. Take this opportunity to wish you all a great, fantastic.